What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Clear Path NBA podcast. We're presented by Vendetta Sports Media, as always. Jacob, your host here. And 2 weeks in a row, got my boy Dan back again. Dan Dreyer, what's up, man?
Yo, yo. Thanks for having me again. Had a good time last time, so pumped to do it again.
We're making it a regular thing. You know, it's got something to do in the afternoons in our adult life. Since we don't really go out anymore. Not too much. Besides, you were at that, that march the other day, though, in San Francisco. You were at the Lives Matter watch or something, march?
Yes.
Last weekend?
I don't know what it was called, but it was for gun control.
Oh, okay. I hear you. So you're not a Toby Keith fan.
I go both ways. I still like me some Toby Keith, but I got to support my liberal wife.
Yeah, for sure. We won't get into that discussion on the podcast. I'm not trying to get called out and end up on the front page somewhere. But yeah, so you're back again. Last time we chatted, talked a little bit about the playoff scenario, a couple things with Kawhi. Kind of just like an around the, you know, what's been going on with the Sixers. It had been a couple of weeks since I'd been on the pod. So that's kind of the structure of this one. We're going to chat a little bit about, a couple of playoff scenarios, just go through the standings really, really quick, then talk about a few teams that, you know, the playoffs are really important for them and their offseason plans. And then we'll hit up some all NBA predictions and everything, because that's a fun thing to do this time of year. As the playoffs are rounding out, everybody's got to pick who's the best in the league. So awesome. So, Dan, what's been going on, man, as far as the standings go? I mean, Philly just hasn't lost since they just won't lose.
Yeah, that was my first thought when you brought up playoff standings, because we spent a good amount of time talking about Philly and Cleveland last week, and they both continued to win. And Philly is just not losing. And this is without Embiid, too. So they're showing that they're a resilient bunch and that they're ready for a playoff run. I think with Embiid coming back, they're more primed than I thought a week ago to do some damage in the playoffs. And I almost wouldn't mind, because I said Cleveland was definitely going for the 3 seed. I still think they want that 3 seed. I still think they kind of have an upper hand in getting it. It will probably come down to that matchup against Philadelphia, but I almost wouldn't mind seeing Cleveland get the 4 seed, because that would mean that could shake up for a Eastern Conference Finals matchup between Cleveland and Philadelphia, which I think at this point seems like it would be the most exciting matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I want Cleveland. I'm a Cleveland fan. I want them to get the 3 seed, but I wouldn't mind seeing them drop to the 4 because of that potential matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I mean, if they stick in that 3-4, 4-3 or whatever, you know, there's a pretty good shot that they're the 2 teams standing. I just hope that Philly doesn't lay an egg in the playoffs and just kind of like run out of gas. I wouldn't mind them losing a game here in the next couple of games, you know, before the season. Maybe they lose that game. I think losing to Cleveland would be good for them. Now, it'll be a huge story if they beat Cleveland here in the next week. But I think what's best for them is to see, like, for LeBron to come in and dominate, and for them to – that'd be their first loss in that streak. And it really kind of be like a check for them to going into the playoffs of like, all right, guys, like, that was a fun streak. Let's get back to business. You know, we think we're the best team in this conference. Let's get it going. Instead of kind of feeling like a little bit bigger than you are. I mean, they're winning these games without Embiid, like you said. You know, like, you don't want to get too much of a big head, especially with those young players. So I think it wouldn't hurt for them to have a loss. It's weird to say that, but yeah, you don't want to go into the playoffs on a huge win streak like that. I just think it's like a bad luck or something like that.
Yeah. And I almost feel the same way for Cleveland also, because they kind of need to win like all these games at the end of the season, whereas in the past they didn't really need to. And they looked bad going into the playoffs last year and years before that as well. And it worked out great. You know, they just rolled through the Eastern Conference. I wonder how that's going to play out with them having to go all out almost for these last few weeks just to get a good seed, if that's going to hurt them in the playoffs. And then I say, going back to Philadelphia, I say a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup if Cleveland's the 4 seed and Philadelphia's the 3 seed. And that's because if Philadelphia is the 4 seed, I still am holding to my prediction that they wouldn't be able to get past Toronto
in the second round. I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, because really the seeding doesn't matter, but you're talking about matchups.
Matchups. I realized I wasn't clear on that when I said it, because I would assume Cleveland, a 1-4 matchup in the second round against Toronto with Cleveland. I think they would get past Toronto. I don't think Philly would get past Toronto in the second round. Mm-hmm. But the first seed's still up for grabs too. I mean, there's a lot going on here in these last couple of weeks, more than years past. There's a lot of things that can shake out with these last few games. So it's kind of exciting because a lot of it matters. Usually the playoff seeding doesn't matter so much, but it seems like the seeding matters this year a little more than in years past.
It does. It does. I mean, and to see Philly, if they were to meet up with Cleveland in the playoffs, have that home court advantage would be interesting. I still don't think it matters in the end, but it would be interesting as far as how crazy that crowd would be at a possible, you know, game 5 or 7 or whatever. So that would be, you're right. And with Boston and Toronto, that could flip flop. If Boston ends up being the 1 seed, I think it's going to be similar to last year. I know they made it to the conference finals, but it was, you know, they almost got upset in the first round. So I think that's going to be a similar situation to where, you know, whoever, if Boston gets that 1 seed, then yeah, whoever's the 4 seed looks a lot better in the second round than they would having to play Toronto. So I think Boston's just, I mean, admirable what they're doing right now and what Stevens is doing with that group. But unless Kyrie comes back fully healthy by round 2, I just don't see them really doing much. If they don't get the 1 seed, I don't think they get out of the first round. So, because I don't think Kyrie will be back till the second. But yeah, as far as other, I mean, Toronto and Boston are kind of in a mini battle, and Cleveland and Philly are in a mini battle for those two, the top 4 seeds. Past that, you know, Indiana's kind of locked into that 5 seed right now, which is not a bad spot for them. But Miami, Washington, and Milwaukee are all tied, exact same record for the 6th seed. Miami's playing, I guess, the best recently. Milwaukee's played all right. Washington's kind of faltering. They did just get Wall back, though. So, you know, you never really know how that's going to play out, if he's going to mesh well, back well with them, and they kind of get hot in the last 2 or 3 games. But that's kind of a mishmash there. There's some interest with where Miami ends up is it's related to Boston. I think they can beat Boston. Other than that, I don't really see much in those bottom 3 that really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. And I mean, did you see anything?
Well, to me, it seems like they might want to avoid the 6th seed. They might be.
Yeah.
They might be.
That's true. Cleveland.
They might prefer the 7th or 8th seed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, you definitely, if I were them, I would not want that 6 seed. Wow.
Because even if it's Philadelphia, even if it's Philadelphia, like, who's more – I mean, Philadelphia is definitely – without Kyrie, Philadelphia is definitely more scary than Boston. Boston without Kyrie. And then some teams might even find Philadelphia scarier than Toronto. So those teams, I don't know if – you never know what they're thinking in situations like this, but – the coaches think about every little detail. They might be thinking, those 3 teams might be at the bottom. There might be thinking, hey, I think I'd rather have the 7th or 8th seed than the 6th.
Right.
So I wonder if that plays into their strategy. Probably not. They'll always say they're just going to try to win every game. I mean, what else can you do? But it might be a thought in the back of their mind.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you know what's going to happen is we're going to come out in the first round and Indiana's going to beat Philly in 5 games or something. Like, it's going to just throw a huge wrench in everything. It's going to be like, oh, wow. So now nobody wants to see Indiana advance. But yeah, so there's a little bit of intrigue there. You're right with that 6 seed and who gets the joy of playing Cleveland in the first round in an inevitable sweep or 5-game series. So Out west, it's pretty much the same. You know, there's a battle for that. There's really only nine teams in it. Those last three, I guess everybody from four and below: Utah, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, New Orleans, and then Denver. New Orleans is dropping, and I guess I'll kind of use this because I mean, I kind of use this to get into that segment that I wanted to kind of touch on. It's a couple of the teams that really the next week of their season really determines a lot, and what they do in the playoffs determines a lot. And two of those teams in the Western Conference that I think are, you know, really are a lot's weighing on their next few games and their next few weeks of the season. And the first off is New Orleans and Oklahoma City. And New Orleans, first off, they were the 3 and 4 seed a couple of weeks ago. They were looking like they were super steady after losing Boogie. They were like, okay, they're going to be a solid playoff team. They'll make a decent run. They win a couple games in the playoffs. It'll be a nice story. They re-signed Boogie, all this and that and the other. They've recently dropped. They lost 4 straight. They're all the way down to 8 right now. They're only a half game ahead of Denver, who's won 3 in a row, a couple overtime games, playing a little bit better. They both have difficult schedules remaining, several playoff teams. You know, I think Denver's got Minnesota twice. But I think if New Orleans misses the playoffs, that difference between the 8 and 9 seed, if they barely make it in, that's a success. They made it without Boogie. They go in, they lose to Houston, whatever. Even if they get the 7 seed, they lose to Golden State. Like, it's a nice story. You know, re-sign Boogie, let's run it back, get a couple more pieces. If they drop down to 9, it's a half game difference. It'll probably be like that at the end of the season. If they drop down to 9, you know, that season feels like a failure. You miss the playoffs again. You're going into you're worried if Anthony Davis is going to leave. I want to get, what do you think about like the pressure that's on New Orleans right now, the pressure on Alvin Gentry, their coach? Like, there's a lot that's going on in that city, right? Like, there's a lot contingent on this last week of the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a success if they make the playoffs considering Boogie went down. But you almost have a built-in excuse if you missed the playoffs because Boogie went down. I don't know if I feel that way, that it has that much of an effect on what they're going to do moving forward. I think a lot of people, like basketball people, would say maybe it's not the best fit with Boogie anyway. So maybe they wouldn't re-sign them. But I think a team like New Orleans, who might struggle to attract stars, mm-hmm. would just take any stars they can get. So I think, in my mind, their plan is to keep Boogie and AD if they can, to sign them both, just because that's what they have. Those are the options that they have. I don't think they have much flexibility to turn down a guy like Boogie, even if it's not the best basketball fit. So as far as this 8 seed and them getting in the playoffs or not, I don't know. I don't know if I feel that way, to be honest, if it really has an effect on what they're going to do moving forward. I'd like to see them get in the playoffs. I'd like to see AD get some playoff experience. So it probably would be a big failure if they miss it. And, you know, it would shake their confidence and shake AD's confidence. But I don't think it affects their future plans. I don't know. How do you see it affecting their future plans based on whether they make it or not?
I think it could go a couple different routes, especially if they drop out and they miss. You know, the first domino, I think, to fall would be Boogie deciding not to re-sign, him announcing it or going past the draft, you know, news coming out that he wants to test free agency and he wants to sign somewhere else, or, you know, wanting to go to LA or something like that. You know, I think that would be the first domino to fall. And then I think that's a likelihood. Something to me, like, I feel like if they make the playoffs, it's a little bit different of what he's re-signing on to. It's really just the spectacle of it and really just that confidence of, you know, what made the playoffs this season. It was an accomplishment and whatnot. But if Boogie decides that he wants to test it and doesn't really commit to coming back, and especially if he doesn't come back, if he doesn't re-sign, I think there's a chance that Davis looks to move. And whether that's quietly with an agent talking to the front office, or whether that's publicly, or whether New Orleans says, you know what, we've run this back so many times. We lost the second star. You know, we had two all-star starters this year before Boogie got hurt. Whether they decide to just let's ship him out and try to get some prospects. There's a couple teams out there that want to win now. Let's try to just, we're going to get rid of Gentry. We're going to rebuild and go down that road. I think that's how the contingent on the playoff run, I think that's a possibility, just because, like I said, the first domino would be Boogie deciding to just, you know, call it quits on the season. So, but
yeah, I don't, that's what I mean. Like, if they're in a position where I think they're not in a position to decide whether they want to keep Boogie or AD or not.
Yeah.
If you're talking about it from a player perspective, if Boogie was playing and they missed the playoffs, then he might say, you know what, this isn't working out. Boogie might sign elsewhere. But since he's not playing, maybe he says, well, if I was there, we would have made it. And if I was there, we could have been a threat in the playoffs. Maybe. And, you know, he's from that area. He grew up not too far from New Orleans. He probably would prefer to stay in New Orleans. So that's why with him being out, it's almost like a free roll. And like I said, they're going to, I don't think they're in a position where they could say, hey, we're going to trade AD. Is that what you meant, trading AD?
Yeah, it shipped, like trading him to a Boston or a San Antonio, depending on what the package would be to whatever playoff team wanted to go after him. I just think that's a possibility. But I see what you're saying as far as Boogie thinking, you know, we were in a great position. We were both all-stars when I was here. I had fun playing with him. We're Kentucky guys. We have some nice role players. We'll be able to add some more stuff in the offseason. People will be able to understand that, you know, we were a legit pairing. So I can see where you're coming from. To me, it's a lot more pressure than what you're saying. So that's just kind of I just think the amount of, they've only been in the playoffs like one time since AD's been there. Yeah. Maybe once or twice. And I think it was when he was early on in his career, he may have made it as an eight seed. But other than that, it's just there's not been enough sustained success. And, you know, if he decides that he wants to go, that could change everything. So all it takes,
yeah,
that text message to his agent.
That I can see. Yeah, you're right. You know, if he asks for a trade, you know, what can they do?
They're stuck.
You know, they might want to trade him and get what they can for him. But I don't think New Orleans would ever initiate any trade talks about AD. You don't get a player like that. But he's said, you know, he hasn't shown any, or like, you know, under, you know, behind the scenes said anything cryptically that he wants out of there. There hasn't been any reports of that. But you're right, maybe if they miss the playoffs, that'll start to come up.
Right.
I think they would have to do everything they can to try to keep him if that does come up, because you can't trade away a player like that. But we'll see. I mean, I hope that doesn't. I'd like to see what they can do with those two guys. I don't want to see him get traded, Anthony Davis. I hope it doesn't come to that. So you might be right that, like, him making the playoffs is going to have a big effect on his psyche versus missing it. Maybe he will want to get out.
Yeah, I want to see him together too for a full season. So that's my wish, is that they re-sign and run it back, and maybe they're able to sign somebody else in the offseason, or, you know, maybe, you know, through they gave away their draft pick, but maybe they're able to scrape something up and bring in another talented player. But another team that I wanted to hit on really quick in the West was Oklahoma City. And we've talked about them before. You know, they played at Golden State again the other night and came down to the wire, almost were able to get that win on a shorthanded Warriors team. So, you know, the loss looks kind of bad. But depending on what they do right now, they're slotted as the sixth to play Portland in the first round. I think it's a good matchup for them. I think Portland's they're playing better right now. I don't know if they're a better team when you have OKC definitely has more top end talent. But depending on where they finish, if they slip down to seven at all, which Minnesota's only a half game back, if they happen to slip down to seven and play Golden State and lose in the first round, which would be an interesting matchup. But, you know, the word is already that Paul George wants to go. They where they've said he's been happy with what's going on in OKC this season. You know, the optimistic people out there in the OKC media want to think that he's been won over by the fans and by Russ and all that. I think their playoff success, especially, is really important, because if they go in and they do have a good showing, they win that first round matchup, or they go in and they upset somebody like Golden State, which is kind of like a crazy scenario to even consider. But something like that, they make it to the second round, or they win the first round matchup, win a couple games in the second, but they play well together and it all kind of meshes to where it fools you from the, this was messed up all season. Now it kind of clicked at the end. Maybe it persuades him to stay. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's a lot of do you think the playoffs are going to matter at all? Playoff success is going to matter at all in whether he leaves or stays, or do you think he's gone regardless?
No, I don't think he's gone regardless. I think it does matter. I think this is where there's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. This to me, and they've really disappointed me the last couple of weeks. I did not want to see them fall below the fifth seed. I wanted to see a 4-5 matchup for them. That's a matchup they can win, and kind of ease their way into the playoffs. I certainly don't want to see them go to 7 and have to face Golden State in the first round. But I don't even want to see them play Portland in the first round. So yeah, to me, this is a big difference whether they do well in the playoffs or not as to whether they can keep this team together. So, and they're just really disappointing me by falling down. And, Melo's saying it guarantees to make the playoffs, but it's not a guarantee. It really isn't.
Did we predict that would be the guarantee that Melo was making with 3 games left to play? Yeah, I guarantee we make the playoffs. Yeah, we didn't predict that was going to even be a conversation piece at this point. You know, we thought it was going to be whether or not they were getting home court in the first round. You know, I just think Utah is a better team and better. Utah and San Antonio are just better coached teams. I don't know if they'll have as much success in the playoffs as a talented group like OKC, but I think they'll be able to hold on to those 2 spots above them. And then Minnesota's charging hard. I don't think Denver would catch them, or New Orleans, definitely not. So they're kind of locked into that 6-7, and it's like there's a big difference between playing Golden State in the first round and playing Portland. You would get Golden State without Curry, which would be interesting. I would like to see that first round matchup as far as a fan's perspective. I think it would just make the first round better. You wouldn't get any of these sweeps or whatever. I think it would be a good series. It'd definitely be physical. And you get to see Durant really come out and have to be the number one guy. But I think you're right. I definitely think that I think he's gone regardless. I don't think there's much of a chance that he stays. I just think that if it would have clicked like a couple of weeks, I think the last a couple of weeks ago, when they started playing better and it looked like, okay, they're going to come up to the 4 seed. They were still struggling with Portland for that 3 seed. It was like, all right, they kind of look like they're clicking now. If they would have stayed in that mode, I think it would have been a lot different, but they didn't. It's kind of followed the same up and down track of all season. I think Paul George understands that he's second fiddle to Russell Westbrook, and he probably doesn't believe that he's a lesser player. He probably believes that he's a better player. So he's not going to want to – Russ is already – he's OKC for life. He's there. He signed the mega contract. He's not going anywhere. They've made their bed with him. I don't think that's what Paul George wants. He got out of Indiana. He wanted out of Indiana to go to a bigger market and to kind of be a star. I don't think he's going to stay there and be second fiddle to somebody who can't make a 3-pointer in the last 2 minutes of the game. So,
I think he would if they were successful. And, I thought they would be successful. You know, it's looking less and less likely, but there's still obviously a chance. You know, things can change in the playoffs. I think if they get to a conference finals, he stays. But that means they're going to have to beat either, Golden State or Houston in the second round. I think if they play one of those 2 teams tough in the second round, obviously we're assuming they get to the second round, or they avoid one of them in the first round. I think if they play them tough, it'll be up in the air. because he doesn't want to be second fiddle. He wants to be in a good market, but he also wants to be on a good team. I think that the reports were that was the main reason he wanted out of Indiana, because they just didn't have any prospects of attracting any stars and being a top tier team. So he might look at this and say, okay, it's not ideal being in Oklahoma City. It's not ideal playing with a guy like Russ Westbrook, but this is my best opportunity to win a championship. But they do need to show that this year, right? This is like an audition to me for Oklahoma City to be able to keep Paul George. If they can compete with Golden State and Houston in these playoffs, they might be able to keep him. So to me, this is huge for that team. Not as much as the New Orleans situation. To me, this is the one where it's like, you either blow up the team or you run it back next year and see what you can do.
Yeah, I'm along those lines too. So we'll see. It's going to be their first round matchup is going to be interesting. This last week's going to be interesting for them, just to see where they flip flop. But yeah, so that's pretty much the playoff picture. A couple interesting stories out west. Like we said, there's still some seeding in both conferences to be decided. We'll probably have the by next week, we'll know maybe exactly what's going on. If not, but by next weekend for sure, when the season ends. But anyway, let's get into all NBA. This is that time of year. You know, everybody's talking MVP, all NBA. You know, the MVP discussion's kind of mute. There's some stuff going on with Harden and LeBron. I kind of wanted to give you a second to kind of go into. I don't want to pop this on you or anything, but you had some interesting thoughts you said about Harden and LeBron and how that MVP race shakes out.
Yeah, so I'm the believer that like you don't have to give the MVP award to the best player on the best team. I don't think you have to give the MVP award to the person who's having the best season. I think you give the MVP award to the best player. Right, so that's why I think LeBron should have more MVPs. I remember in the 90s, Karl Malone took a couple of Michael Jordan's MVPs because he had like a banner season and they had a great record. That's not why I think James Harden should be the MVP, because he's had the best season, he's had the best record, he's the best player on the best team. I don't think it should be LeBron. I think it is James Harden. Because of LeBron. LeBron didn't play in January. I've watched pretty much all of Cleveland's years. He was not playing for an entire month. He was going through the motions. He does not deserve the MVP. He's put up MVP numbers. He's had stretches where he's played like an MVP. But when you go an entire month where you're just giving up on your team, and for most of the season, he didn't play any defense either. To me, he's not.
Yeah, his defense. Yeah,
his
defense has really dropped off. I'll piggyback on that. Yeah.
So to me, he is not having an MVP year. I do still think he's the best player. So it's kind of contradicting what I would say, but when the best player doesn't show up for his team for an entire month, he doesn't deserve the MVP. That coupled with the fact that James Harden is having a pretty much a better season. On a better team with a better record, James Harden is the MVP for sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's Harden's year. It's he's been in the top two or three the past couple of seasons. I agree with you in LeBron as far as him not showing up in January. He still put up pretty good numbers. Top three, top four numbers.
He had the lowest plus minus in the entire NBA for that stretch.
They lost a lot of games.
I don't care how good the rest of your season was, because he did start out the season, if you remember, playing like an MVP.
It was bookends. It was the beginning and the end of this season. I guess it's more than the beginning and the end, but it's that first like third and the second third of the season. He was an MVP. In that middle part in January and kind of like after, like right before the All-Star game, that was when, like you said, he lost it there.
And it wasn't – I would probably still give it to him if he just didn't have that good of a January. But he just did not play. He was actually hurting his team. Like, I watched the games. They were better a lot of times when he was off the court. I mean, he was still putting up some decent numbers just because he'll put up numbers in his sleep. But he was actually hurting his team. And you can't – people forget that now because the last, month, even almost 2 months, he's been amazing again. But I'm not going to forget that. He was the lowest plus minus in the entire NBA for an entire month. So he does not deserve the MVP, even though he is the best player.
Yeah, I agree there. I think it's Harden's. I want LeBron to get another one before the end. Hopefully he will in the next couple seasons, but it's Harden's this year. He's too much. It's not close enough between him and LeBron to warrant, like you said, the down period that he had. But then let's get into the All NBA. I'm sure both these guys will be on our first teams. But let's kind of go at it this way. Let's you give your guards, I'll give mine, then we'll go forwards and center. And then we'll kind of quickly go through the second and third team and see if there's any like differences there and anybody that we want to make a case for that we think might get either disrespected by the voters or left off or kind of just forgotten, So if there's a player you think really played like that this year. So who are your two guards, first team?
My two guards are James Harden and Dame Lillard.
Yeah. I love it. That's me too.
Really? I thought you might go with Kyrie instead of Dame.
I like Kyrie, just the injury, I think. I don't know. I mean, Dame's just – he's really kind of helped, like, carried that team with CJ. So, I don't know. I give more credit to Dame than Kyrie for that team success. So, and just being, playing more games, the top end numbers are a little bit better. Curry is – a lot of people have Curry up there too, even though he's of the games he's missed. I don't think you can have Curry on the first team either.
No, missed too many games. It's kind of unfair because he set the standard so high for himself that when he has just a good year, that's still better than almost all the guards. It's kind of like he gets overlooked. So I didn't, but I still give it to Dame. And I would actually, we'll talk about that when we get to the second team, but, my forwards, I got, of course, the King, LeBron James. And then I'm going with KD for my second forward.
KD. So you're we chatted about this a minute ago before we started. But so you're giving him, but regardless of the little injury that he posted, the past couple of month or two is kind of been down for the Warriors. His numbers are pretty good. His numbers are right up there in the top of the league, but so you think there's a lot of conversation with him and Giannis. That's the kind of what it comes down to for that last forward spot. If you're counting the them as the forwards, so you think he deserves it over Giannis. Giannis has more points per game, has more rebounds, and he's right there to see. He has like one less assist. So does it come down to more than the numbers for you, than the stats for you? Is it kind of just like a little bit more than that?
I go with who's the better player. And for that reason, I think KD should have been first team over Kawhi last year. So to me, it's not just the number. Like I said, even for MVP, I kind of just look at who's the best player. So, it would get redundant giving it to LeBron every year. But I had to go the same way with the All-NBA. I think KD is one of the best – 2-3 forwards, and he's been one of the best two forwards in the NBA. Giannis has had a great season, maybe slightly better statistically, but not really when you look at percentages. So I would give it to KD. I mean, the guy is shooting over 40% from three, over 50% from the field, leading his team in scoring, with the second best record in the NBA. I mean, what more do you want from an all-NBA player?
True. I had Giannis up there just to put that out there. I think he's had a great season. He's averaging a double-double. The team success isn't there, but I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt here, just because you know, he's played played a few more games than KD, about 10 more games or so. And then I like KD's attitude is kind of turned me off a little bit this season. I'm a known KD hater. I'm not a hater, but just I'm not a huge fan. Obviously respect his game, and he's one of the best to ever play. I'm just kind of giving the nod to Giannis this season, just because I think he's really, really performed. We thought he might be an MVP, be in the MVP conversation. He kind of dropped off that, and especially with the team success, but I'm going to give it to Giannis this year, the forward, my forward slot. And then, I feel like we probably have the same center. Do you have AD? That's who I got.
Yeah, Anthony Davis. Yeah. I guess he's eligible to get it at the center position. Is. So then
they announced. I saw where they announced today that he's going to be a center and a forward, and he's listed under center and forward, so he could be voted for either. And that LaMarcus Aldridge is listed only under forward, I think, which is interesting. Oh. He's basically played center most of the season for San Antonio, so I don't know if that shakes up any of your second or third teams, but. But that was the news that I saw today.
Yeah, that does actually. And he is playing, he played more center this year than AD. So I don't know how they came up with that, but
I know. Maybe I read that wrong, but I'm pretty sure they said that he's listed only as a forward this season. I'll search it real quick, but I'll let you start out with your second team and see who you kind of have. Just run through your guards real quick for second team.
This is really, really tough for me. This is tough because I have three guards that I think are deserving of the second team, but you can only give it to two. So I'm going to give it, this is really tough, but I'm going to give it to Kyrie and DeMar DeRozan.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's tough to leave Steph out of there, but
Kyrie and DeMar, is it the injury for you, the missed time?
It is that's part of it. That coupled with the fact that those two guys are probably having the best seasons of their careers and leading their teams for most of the season, lead their teams to top two records. So, yeah, I just couldn't take it away from them, even though. I don't know. It kind of goes against my whole philosophy. You give it to the best player. I think Steph is better than both of them, but the injury kind of just tilts it towards them. So I'm going with Kyrie and DeMar.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with you much there. I think Curry is the one that will be – I think you probably will get second. I think the voters will vote him second. He's too well-liked for them to – hold anything against him. You know, if this was a scenario where it was a different type of player, maybe they would. But I don't think that he's going to get much hate there from the voters, from the media and whatnot. So I think I would definitely have Kyrie as second team guard. And then it's between Curry and DeRozan for me as well. I think I can't hate on DeRozan. I'll go with Russell Westbrook is somebody I consider for that spot too. I think I would go DeRozan and Kyrie. I won't spoil the third team, but hell of a third team, hell of a third team coming up here.
I know it's kind of crazy, and you could flip flop. I don't think anybody could really argue, at least at the guard positions, you could flip flop. Yeah. Second and third team.
I think
I know who both our third teams are now.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that Kyrie slips. I think he's second team. And like you said, me and you both would pick him for our second team. I think there's a chance that he goes third team or misses completely. I think it's kind of – yeah, I do. It's weird. He didn't make it last year. He hasn't gotten a lot of all-NBA love in his career. It's been kind of a consistent thing. I don't know if that's, you know, based off his game. I don't know really what that's due to. He's been, and maybe it was because he was overshadowed by LeBron. I don't really know. They didn't view him as a point guard. He really did play a true point guard position this year. But he's never really gotten much all NBA love. He doesn't have a lot of selection. So That's kind of a person that I would look to slide on the actual ballots of people. So, but as far as for forwards for the second team, this one got a little interesting to me, and how they list players and everything. You get down into like some players that have been through injury and everything like that. But I had Jimmy Butler up there. I had Jimmy Butler and I had, I feel like I'm going to get to the end and be like, wait, well, I want to flip flop this, but I had Jimmy Butler and LaMarcus Aldridge as my forwards. And that's just because they put LaMarcus as a forward and not a center. I think he's got to be up there at least second team just because of his, you know, he's a high PER this year, one of the top, you know, he's 24, almost 24 points a game. He's really been the by far the best player on that team, especially since Kawhi was out and rebounded off of a pretty rough season last season where a lot of last year where a lot of people wanted him to be shipped out. So him and Popovich kind of came together and figured out what was going on. So I'm going to give him credit for that. I had Butler and Aldridge. Who do you have as your forwards?
Well, since I didn't have Giannis in the first team, we'll go with Giannis.
Oh my God. I got to check that. Take Jimmy Butler off and put Kevin Durant on.
I was going to call you out.
Oh my God. I should have let you. I just completely had it written down the wrong way. And then so disregard what I said, but yeah, go ahead with your forwards.
Okay, good, good. I was going to ask you about that.
I just stopped watching the NBA.
So yeah, Giannis, and I actually, since LaMarcus, it actually makes my decision easier for the center position that he's listed as a forward, but yeah, I give the nod to LaMarcus. So Giannis and LaMarcus at the forwards for the second team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically it's the same with LaMarcus there, just us flip flopping KD and Giannis. And I tried to leave him off. Sorry for my hate was too strong for KD. But this also the second team center is a very interesting one for me because I think there's two players that are right there for. I think it's between Towns and Embiid, and I think I'm gonna go with Embiid just because of what he's done to that team and kind of, you know, just his he's a better defender and he's really just been a force down there and he's stayed healthy the entire. I don't want to give him staying healthy as a positive like check in his corner or whatever because that's not really fair because you know Towns never misses any games either but I Embiid is just all around
15 more games
yeah exactly and he's never I don't think he's ever missed a game in his career so that's you know I don't want to give that to Embiid but his season's really been strong to me so I'm gonna go Embiid second team.
Yeah, I have Embiid the second team too. The stats are close. I'm a big shooting percentage guy, and Kat's got a much better shooting percentage. You never like to see a big man be under 50% shooting, but I still just think what he's done, Embiid, for that team, and just turned himself into a bona fide superstar, mm-hmm. and just done it with a lot of, you know, a lot of flash also, just showing a ton of skill and showing he can hit big shots too in like, you know, national televised games against good teams. So I give it to Embiid over Towns.
Yeah. I mean, he's averaging a double double. The percentage is a little bit low. I think that's because he has taken a lot of outside shots and he still, and I don't hate that, you know, he's not a great, he's a 30% 3-point shooter, nothing to write home about. I thought there was more potential there at the beginning of the season. I was like, oh, he's going to be a pretty solid shooter. He's going to be about 35, 36% with potential to be better. But he really kind of hasn't really panned out much there. It's been kind of just almost like he's shooting to keep people honest. That's not, I'm not going to determine the center, all NBA center based on the 3-point percentage. So, I don't think it's like we both agree on that one. So we'll give him the nod for second team. So that would make it Kyrie, DeRozan, KD, Aldridge, and Embiid for me. And the same exact thing for you, except Giannis for KD. So third team, we hinted a little bit about the guards and what was coming out, what was coming. I think there's an interesting storyline here, similar to center in the second team, and that is Victor Oladipo. And I have Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry as third team All-NBA, the two guard slots. I really, really didn't want to leave Oladipo off. And I'll probably go over this in my head the next couple of days and figure out a bunch of different scenarios with the second, you know, all that stuff. But it was really hard for me to leave Oladipo off. I really like his game. He's really played well this year.
Yeah, I actually didn't want to leave CJ McCollum off. I would take McCollum over Oladipo. But yeah, I have Steph and Westbrook. I don't know. Oladipo, to me, it could be a flash in the pan. We'll see. I think McCollum has proven he's an all-NBA type player. I don't think he's ever even been voted into the All-Star game. But I think McCollum is one of those guys that gets overlooked. So I would pick him over Oladipo, but it's, you know, it's neither here nor there because I got Steph and Westbrook.
You're right, and I considered McCollum. He's a better shooter, better offensive player than Oladipo. He doesn't do – I feel like Oladipo affects the game a little bit more. His PER is higher. Win shares are higher. I don't want to – you know, the rebounds and assists are higher, but they're not too much to be concerned with. But CJ is just a bona fide scorer too, and he's 40% from the outside, yeah. And that's really what sets him apart. You know, it doesn't miss from many places. So, that's I agree with that. If you, we can
probably just because I watched the McCollum more. I've watched a bunch of Blazers games here on the West Coast. Haven't seen too many Pacers games, so that could be part of it too. But just from what I've seen, to me, McCollum's better. We're talking about the fourth team right now, though.
Fourth team. And also, Kemba Walker's knocking on our door trying to ask us why he's not on third team. Yeah. Or, I mean, why he's not on fourth team.
But how about, like, the conversation we're having is Steph Curry, two-time MVP, and Russell Westbrook, reigning MVP, dropping down to – the third team, kind of interesting, you know. What? It's not like they're having bad a guy seasons, that's, you know.
Right, and I mean, like you said, Westbrook was the MVP last season, and he is literally 1/10 of a point away from averaging a triple double again this season. Which there's a good chance 1/10 of a rebound, excuse me. In the rebound category, he's 1/10 away from averaging a triple double. Like, you go from being the story of the league, triple double, NBA, MVP, all NBA first team, to basically having the same season and then go to third team. And I feel like that's going to be common. I feel like a lot of people are going to have him slotted there. Like, I feel like that's going to be I think there's a chance he gets to second team over like somebody like Kyrie, who we had. But I mean, that's still crazy to me were you on the Westbrook MVP train last year, or did you think it should have gone to Harden or somebody else?
Yeah, I went with Westbrook. I couldn't help it. Just like everybody else. Yeah. I never thought I'd see somebody average a triple double. That's really what it was. I heard that when I was younger that Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double for a season. And that to me was like hearing that Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50 points a game for a season. I thought
it doesn't even register. It's like, that's not really real.
it must have been just because they're playing in the 50s and 60s. There's no competition. Like, it's not possible in the modern NBA. So he did that. So that was like, he's getting the MVP. So,
yeah,
but now he's almost doing it again, and it's just not that impressive. Points are way down, and if you just – I watch a lot of their games, he just doesn't look like he's helping the team win. You know, last year he was carrying the team. That's all they had. You know, him and Steven Adams. This year, they have so many good pieces, and they're just, I don't know, he just doesn't look like a, you know, an MVP type player this year. So I don't have no problem dropping him down, even though he is averaging pretty much a triple double.
Yeah, his 3-point percentage way down below 30% now. That's really kind of just crazy. He's never been like a great shooter, but he's been really bad lately. But yeah, quickly on the forwards, I want to see who you got for forwards. I had Butler obviously as the holdover from I thought he was going to be second team. I struggle with the second forward on the third team. I mean, there's Paul George, who I think would qualify as a forward. Then there's, you know, Bradley Beal's also another snub on here that would definitely have to be a guard. I didn't think about that. He's another player that could get some snub attention. Who do you have as your fourth forward or your second forward on the third team?
Yeah, so the forwards, a little bit tougher just because there's not as much to choose from, actually. But yeah, I would give it to those two guys. I'm not a Blake Griffin fan. I think.
Oh, you give it to who? To PG.
PG and Jimmy. Yeah.
Okay.
Just because even though they haven't had their best seasons, I still think they're all NBA caliber players, and they are having solid seasons, and I don't think there's much competition at the forward position enough to overtake them. So we'll go with those two.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best bet. Two other players that I think will get consideration definitely from the media. I've heard some people mention Otto Porter. And they said it's because of the way the forwards fall. It's like very top heavy. Then you kind of get like mushy and you have a lot of guards that need to be up there. Otto Porter has been mentioned a lot. He stepped up a little bit in Wall's absence. He's played pretty well. Then also an interesting one to me, he won't get it. There's not a scenario where he gets this, but Ben Simmons as third team forward. Now that's what he's classified as a forward. He's obviously a guard as far as how he handles the ball and like starts the, but he's more, I mean, I wouldn't say he's much different than LeBron. So if you're going to have LeBron listed as a forward, I don't think you can put Ben Simmons as a guard or consider him a guard. So there's somebody else who probably, especially late in the season, has played like an all NBA talent, being a rookie, being, you know, injured all last season. I don't think the voters give it to him. I think they don't go with a rookie in that situation. So I think that, but it would be. Yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy at all.
No, I don't think so at all. If I wouldn't be, if they put Ben Simmons there, All NBA third team, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with him being listed as a forward. I think he is a forward. He's a point forward, just like LeBron. I don't have a problem putting him over either one of those guys. To tell you the truth, I just don't think I think they're a little better. Both of them, I think they're having a little bit better seasons. Plus, you know, they are veterans and he's a rookie. That's why I'd give it to those two. But I wouldn't have a problem with Ben Simmons being there. Who would you leave off if Ben Simmons were to get that spot?
Paul George.
Ah, I would leave off Butler.
Yes, yeah. See, I think Butler has really been the best player. Like, I mean, Towns I think he's the most talented, but I think Butler's really what got them in. They were a solid. They were a home court advantage. They were going to be that 3 seed in the Western Conference if Butler doesn't get hurt, because the Spurs ended up falling off. Like, Minnesota would have been solidly in that 3 seed, I think, if he doesn't go out with an injury. So that's why I have him up there. But you could nitpick that. I mean, you could nitpick that as far as the injury goes, because he's missed similar time to
injury. That's why I'd give it over George. I'd give George over Butler because he's played 20 more games.
Yeah. And I mean, but the third team to me is kind of like the injury kind of throwaway team, where it's like somebody like Westbrook and Curry. It's like you can't leave those guys off. Third team is kind of my situation with Jimmy. And then my center is obviously Towns. And I don't know if you'd agree with that or not, but.
Yeah, definitely Towns. I think we both considered having him on the second team. So definitely a lock for the third team in my mind. He might even get the second team from the voters. I don't know who votes on this thing.
Yeah,
but,
I think it also I don't think there's a way this happens. But if they happen to vote AD as a forward on the first team and Embiid as the center, that would be really interesting to me, because I've heard that scenario kind of floated around that, you know, depending on how many people, like, it depends on like how many people love Embiid. And if they want him to be on the first team, they're not going to leave AD off. So they're going to have to put him as a forward. That means that we would have KD and Giannis as the second team forwards, which would be crazy to have both those guys there. But I think that's a scenario that could happen. And then that would really look weird when you have those guys up there and then you have Damian Lillard. And it's like you have Giannis and KD on the second team and Dame Lillard on the first team. It's like, something's not right here. But positions are what they are.
Yeah, what do you do with Aldridge if he can be
right.
listed as a center?
Does that mean he slides in the center slot? Or, you know, does that –
because if he slides into the center slot, he might drop down. Because I think most people would take Embiid and Towns and Anthony Davis over Aldridge.
You're right. That's a good point. So, I think Aldridge is a lock to make second or third team in either one, in one of the positions. And you just move everybody on the center up to where Towns would be second team center. And then either LaMarcus as third team center or third team forward. So I don't think you give the second. I don't know. That's correct. I get tied up thinking about that.
I know.
Yeah.
Because you want to see Aldridge on there, but you never know. He might get left off somehow altogether. Yeah. We both have him on the second team. But if there's somebody that we've mentioned that could be left off altogether, I could see it being him. Or Paul George or Butler, but I think we already talked about this guy. But other than those two, I could see it being Aldridge somehow slipping.
Yep, that's probably what ends up happening. He's one of those guys that, you know, the Spurs, they can't get afterthought or whatever. But so that's our teams. Not much, not a lot. There's a lot of conversation about the differences. It comes down, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of similarities. I think there's that we obviously the guard position is very, very heavy this season. A lot of deserving candidates. You could say the same for center. Forward looks like it kind of dissipates towards the end, but all the guys that deserve it are going to get in there. So I guess people like Andre Drummond and Rudy Gobert will have something to write about. You know, they'll be pissed off or whatever. And Al Horford probably. Actually, Al Horford's another one I forgot about. He may get some votes, some love from the media as a center. So who knows? We may see some crazy curveballs come into the season.
Yeah.
But anyway. That was a good one. Got the all NBA out of the way. Got a little bit of the playoff talk out of the way. We'll try to hit back next week. May push it off to the weekend. Depends. May do something quick in the middle of the week next week for Clear Path. I want to get the kind of a playoff preview going by next weekend, maybe the first of next week. We'll see what's going on. But anyway, thanks for being on, Dan. We'll try to get you back.
Thanks for having me, Jacob. Awesome. Yeah, anytime.
Yep. All right, guys. Peace.